Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Birdwatching Podcast. Thanks to those of you who've subscribed already, much appreciated. Nice to know that people do like birdwatching. So tell some of the folk who I know, you know, it is interesting. Yep, it is indeed. You won't be listening this otherwise, you mad people. Okay, so the date is the 8th of January. It's quite foggy, and it's also dark, so I'm not actually coming out bird watching. I've come for a walk with my dogs before I go and go to the takeaway to get a curry for my wife. Got nothing to do with bird watching, but thought I'd share that with you. So this time, what do I want to talk about? Well, I thought I'd explain where my interest came from regarding bird watching. I'm 36 years old, and it was only June of last year that I developed a serious interest in this. I have to be honest, and to my shame, I think back and said that I'd seen birds of various types. Can't say I'd ever been that bothered. Local wildlife reserve called Martin Mere, I have been there. Yep, oh yeah, some birds, yeah, great stuff, whatever. Although I have to say, swans, I've always had a particular fondness for. I used to love feeding them down the canal. Ducks, well, but that's about it. Never really knew a sparrow from a chaffinch. In fact, I wouldn't have known the difference if you'd have said at one point. They just meant nothing to me, I had no interest. And, well, nearest as you get to religion and seeing the lights, that's what happened one day. When I was just taking my dogs for a walk near the local stream, and a fast-flowing pert of, well, not stream, river. There was a fast-flowing pert there, and I just noticed this little bird, you know, bobbing up and down. And, you know, the underside of it, I thought, God, look at the colour on that. Yellow. Peculiarly yellow, I would have said. And I'm looking at this bird. It just had quite a long tail, and the way the tail kept wagging up and down, I thought, that's unusual. And that was it, you know, all of a sudden, that's where my interest came from. I'd seen this, and wondered what it was. Came back, now my wife had bought me a field guide, you know, a bird identification book, quite some time ago, one with photographs in. So I was having a flick through this book, trying to work out what it was I'd seen. And I looked, and I thought, no, that looks like it there. Grey wagtail. Why is it called a grey wagtail when it's yellow? And, you know, you start asking yourself questions like that. You're on dangerous territory because it shows that you're developing an interest. So there I was, looking at this in a book. And it does look like that. But, you know, this book had photos. Photos aren't always the be-all and end-all. Which is why a lot of people prefer drawings and illustrations and paintings in field guides. To be honest, I prefer both. It's nice to have a few different sources so you can compare. But I'd just got the one book at the time. So, then I consulted the noble internet. Easy. I got in touch with Sir Google and typed in grey wagtail. There we are, loads of pictures. Definitely was that. Even found some videos. Yep, look, the tail bobbing up and down. Let's have a look. The habitat, particularly in water areas, rivers, usually seen at the fast flowing points where they look for insects. That's it. That's what it's got to be. What's this here? Oh, let's have a look. YouTube. Video. Definitely. Well, it's a great thing about the internet, you know, you can date yourself. What have I seen? Is it this? Is it that? Use that as a useful source. So say what it is, and there you are, quid's in. So, the day after I went back, had another look. And this developed. I didn't just keep going there for looking at the birds, I have to be honest. I set my dogs in that area for a walk each morning. So every time I went, I kept seeing this particular bird, and then I saw a few of them, and then I started listening a little bit more. You know, so you're walking along and all of a sudden you can hear. Stuff like that. Sorry, I know that's not the best of impressions. So then, at this point, I'm thinking, I wonder what that is. Looking at other birds flying around, what's that, what's this, what's that? Not a clue, basically. Oh, there's a blackbird, I can recognise that. Great. So now there's two birds I can recognise. That's the grey wagtail and a blackbird. And, yeah, that's a magpie going past. Oh, sorry, that's three birds I can recognise. Grey wagtail, blackbird, magpie, and, oh, there's a duck, that, yeah, and a duck. What sort of duck? Well, most easily recognisable one. Male, mallard. So they're a bit further I can recognise, and then I'm thinking, you know, that's a good start, that. Well, it took you, like, 36 years to do this, but... And then I'm looking, excuse me, in the distance and seeing something else fluttering about. I could do with that being a bit bigger for me to see. And then it dawns on you. Light bulb, ding, you know, over the top of the head. What is it? How do we make it appear bigger? Binoculars. Great stuff. So, like the total amateur, I thought, what do I need? And I'm knocking this, but probably some serious bird watchers who've got all the Leica binoculars and all this kind of stuff and spent thousands of pounds would, well, I'm not saying they would, but they may snigger at this. Got out the trusty, the equivalent of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is the Argos Guide to Everything. Yep, British catalogue, the Argos. Consult the Argos. Look in there, it's got everything. And it does indeed have binoculars. And then I saw these binoculars, oh, look at that, zooms up to 80 times over something stupid like that. Brilliant. That's what I want. And if, obviously it's one of these things where it shows a little picture of a racing car, and then you get the photo next to it of a close-up where you can see the hers in the nose of the driver through the helmet. You know, the binoculars are that powerful. And you think, brilliant, that'll do. I shall see every crumb that drops from the beak of any bird that I see. Excellent stuff. So I go and bought these things, and what do you know, you start using them, and the more you zoom, the less light they let in. And basically, pardon my French, they are crap for that. But at first, no, alright, yeah, I'm slagging them off. At first, I could use them a bit. I went back to the stream again, tested them on the wagtail that were flopping about in the distance. It did make them bigger. I could observe them better. And I carried on with these for a bit. Quite pleased with my bargain buy, although secretly thinking, they're not that good. They're not that good. And then one day I went to a local recreation area called Pennington Flash, which is in Leigh, Lancashire, near to Wigan, where I live. And they do have some bird hides there. And on this particular day, they did a thing that ranger in the hide, but one of the park rangers would explain what birds you could see, what wildlife. So, I'm asking various questions, and there's the lady that answered quite brilliantly about all kinds of stuff that I would never have even spotted. Explained it to me in detail, and you know, it wasn't boring. It was interesting. Again, as I said, I was slowly and increasingly becoming addicted to this, getting really into it. So she's showing me various birds in the distance through the scope. Some baby lapwings, our chicks, and various other birds. And there's me looking at this thinking, tough telescope, I'm never going to get one of them. Can't be bothered. And then she said, have a look at that there. It's a bit too close. Have a look through the binoculars. Pass me these binoculars. I had a look through, I think they were 8x42, something like that. And God, not only did it make it bigger, it seemed to make things brighter. It was as if somebody switched a light on as well. And obviously impressed by these. So I had a look round, decided I'd get myself a pair at some point. And I did. I bought myself a pair of 8x42 binoculars. The number we go off really is the 8 at the front. 8 just meaning it makes things 8 times bigger. I think most binoculars favoured by birdwatchers are either 8 times or 10 times. The second number is the diameter of the, I don't know, oh, let's not get too technical, I was terrible at physics. The big lens at the other end, and I think it's 42mm, well, I'm not sure. But the bigger the number, the more light they let in. 8 times bigger, you think, well, that doesn't seem a lot when I had some that made things 80 times bigger. Which is great, but you can't look at things close up. You need to keep your hands really steady to see these things, one slight shake and shiver, and you lose what you're looking at. 8 times is fine. The binoculars I bought I've still got now, and I won't part with them. I think they're absolutely brilliant. One of the best buys I've ever made. Yep, and yeah, you learn from your mistakes. I think for starting off though, any binoculars, they're alright. Even the ones which I was describing earlier have not been much good. Well, they did the job. The whole point is to make something bigger so you can see it. If you can observe it more clearly, you can identify it more clearly. And at times, you know, I've not a clue what I was looking at, and get the field guide, consult that, and learn it more and more and more. And yeah, I mentioned telescopes. I went to Martin Mayer with my brother-in-law. I've got my binoculars at Obbins, so yeah, you start getting into the terminology. I brought my bins with me. I think some people call them glasses as well, but glasses to me are things that Velma used to drop on episodes of Scooby-Doo. Why she didn't have contact lenses, I don't know, but my glasses, I can't find them. Should have gone to Specsavers. Anyway, get back on track. So, yeah, I've gone along there, so my brother-in-law, he's got a scope. I'm going to look through that and think, God, these are great. Obviously, I've been fixed. You can see something in the far distance and identify it better. So, that was the item I bought next. It was a scope. See, I didn't know they were called scopes. At first, I thought a scope was a... used to make me think of being an assassin, you know, that's the scope that you look through as you're aiming your rifle. Well, I suppose it is, isn't it? A telescopic sight. So, I thought I'll have one of these. I think the one I've got cost me £130. Again, you can pay thousands for these things. I was quite happy with what I paid for mine. I still use it now. It does the trick. I'm sure if I'd have spent £1,200, I could get one that's lighter, brighter, easier to use. Well, as I say, this one does the job. So when I bought this thing, what I did was I used to go in the hides, and because I've not got a tripod or any such apparatus to attach it to make it steady, I'd just rest it against the shelf when looking through the viewer or the window. That was all right for a bit. Then I thought I'll invest in something else, which was a hide clamp. I mean, that cost a wee bit, but it's an essential bit of kit, I would say, if you go to anywhere with a hide. Because usually I'll have a little shelf attachment there. Basically a hide clamp, it's part of a tripod, not usually a photographic one, because these tarp are a bit wonky, I would say, unless you're going to get a really expensive one. The one that I have, basically is a metal pole, and it's got the head adjustment and the tilt thingy on it, and the clamp at the bottom of it. So what you do, you attach your telescope to it and clamp it in. Right, what was I saying? I'm distracted there because I just have to pause it. A Dalmatian dog come running over. Hardly world news, is it? But no, just my dogs are having a run round and a bark and can hardly carry on with this while that's going on. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, the best thing about a hide clamp and scope is once you focus on something and you find what you're looking at, you can turn it, click it, lock it, and you know, this is what's good about the thing, you can stop and have a sandwich, scratch yourself, walk around in a circle, text, any number of things, amazing. Come back and there you are, straight away, look through the viewfinder, and whatever you were looking at, touch wood if it's still there, you can view it straight away without having to focus and realign and all that kind of stuff. It comes in handy if you say, what's that over there? You can see what, little bird there, it's yeah, that's it's a little bit on its beak, and it, and the, well, yeah, if you look at the tail, what, over near them, no, not them rocks, just a bit north, at the back of that, oh, how can I see, can you see that tree? Which one, that one? No, not that one, that little one. Which, no. Yeah, instead of doing all this and the stuttering and the what no misses routine, you just get your scope, set it, and say, excuse me, can you have a look at that? Yeah. What is it, that? That? Yeah. It's a mallard. Oh, no, fair enough. So, good way of IDing birds, getting second opinions, etc. So, I think I've rambled on for quite enough now. That's me done. Basically, I was only saying how I'd seen a wagtail and sparked me interest in bird watching, but I think you've got the full history. If you like this, folks, let me know. My email address is wiganbirdwatcher@hotmail.com. I'll spell it letter by letter. wiganbirdwatcher@hotmail.com. But wiganbirdwatcher@hotmail.com. Let me know what you think of this. And I shall now go. I think that curry's going to be well done and ready by now, but it's going cold. So thanks for tuning in. And look out for episode 4 coming any day now. Thanks a lot. Bye.